Thank you, Maddie, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. When I was a kid, I got sick with something. I can't remember. It wasn't something serious, just like the bubonic plague or something. I don't remember what it was, but the doctor gave me antibiotics to take care of it. And this was back in the time, like, before bubblegum-flavored antibiotics that kids get nowadays. Like, you had to be really sick to actually drink this stuff because it tasted like battery acid mixed with cough syrup. But that's what he gave me. Well, I hated it. Now, kids don't have a strong opinion on everything. You know, like, kids don't have a strong opinion on maybe taxes or politics or who should win the Nobel Peace Prize. But when it comes to the taste of something, suddenly, every kid becomes the most opinionated critic in the world. And my opinion was clear. This stuff was disgusting. And so I took my stand. I was not going to take this medicine. My mom told me to take it. I told her, well, you can take it. I'm not taking it. And that's when she told me, you're not allowed to leave the kitchen until you take this medicine. Now, I was a little kid. I was like, all right, challenge accepted. All right, well, let's go. You know? And so I sat there refusing to take it. I kind of just staged my own little kitchen sit-in with my arms crossed and my lips sealed tight. You know, I was not going to give in to her demands. Well, an hour goes by. I sat in there for an hour. There wasn't TV. There weren't toys. There was nothing in there for me to do. But I lasted an hour. And the whole time that I was sitting in there, I couldn't stop thinking about one thing. I kept thinking, this medicine is the worst, and my mom is forcing me to take it. What kind of mom would do that? Not a good one. You know, what I kept saying to myself was, if my mom was really good, she wouldn't make me take this. I don't have a good mom. The question that I kept asking myself as I looked at that disgusting stuff is she even good? Now, I did end up taking the medicine. I'm happy to say that. You know, my mom's tactic worked, the keeping me in the kitchen, that did work. I look back now and I think about that question. Is she even good? Well, if we can get more serious for a second, there have been things going on in the world that are absolutely tragic. School shootings where kids die. There was a very public Christian figure that was murdered in broad daylight, and millions of people saw it happen. It's been reported that 7,000 Christians have been killed this year in Nigeria for their faith. 7,000 Christians. I mean, this is just scratching the surface of all of the bad that is in the world. You can't turn on the news without seeing something that makes you sad or makes you angry or makes you sick. There is so much bad in the world, and it causes you to ask a question. Is God even good? What a question. Is God even good? Well, today we're starting a new series of lessons where we're asking, is God blank? Fill in the blank. And we're doing this because we want to explore the character of God by asking questions that we want the answers to. Today we're asking the question, is God blank? Good. Now, we're in church. You already know the answer to that question, don't you? Is God good? The answer is yes, of course he is. And so what we're going to do as we study Psalm 25 verses 8 through 10, we're going to see three ways you know God is good. You already know the answer, so we're going to look at three ways that you know God is good. Let's start with the first way. You know God is good, here's the first way, because he shows you the way. When we question whether God is good, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times it deals with something that somebody else does. You know, a school shooter, a drunk driver, an abusive parent, they do things that cause pain and suffering. And to get more personal, you've probably had something like this happen in your life. Maybe it was the friend who betrayed you, the spouse who left you, the coworker who lied so that they could get ahead. They lied about you. Maybe it is that parent who never seems satisfied with you. Or that kid at school that bullies your kid. or the person online who spreads rumors about you. Things like this happen, and it causes you to wonder, God, if you are good, then why are you letting me go through this? Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm sure you've asked that before, felt that before. I think most of us have. But here's the thing, we can't shift the blame from other people to God when these other people are sinning, they're doing wrong. It's their wickedness. We can't blame God for their sins. In fact, if anything, the Bible tells us that this is not the way that God designed the world. When he made the world, it was sinless. Go back to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 31. This is what it says. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. He made the world good and perfect. We humans are the ones who have ruined it with our sin. And though we have corrupted what God made good, though we have messed up what God created perfect, look at what he does for us. If you have your Bible, Psalm 25, verse 8. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Even though we have rebelled against God, even though we have run from him, even though we have lost our way, God shows us the way. You are a creation. You were designed to live a certain way. You weren't just made to do whatever you want, whatever feels good. You were made to obey God. But because of sin, because of your sinful nature, your sinful choices, you don't live how you were created to live. And left to yourself, you would make destructive decision after destructive decision after destructive decision. But friend, here is the good news. In spite of that, God shows you the way. How many of us have made a mess of our lives? We've made decisions that we knew were wrong. We messed things up, and God still showed us the way because of his goodness. I was in high school when I was driving through this parking lot, and I was a teenage boy, I was a very responsible young man, and I was driving along, and suddenly out of nowhere, this curb jumped out in front of my car, and I hit, there was nothing I could do, not my fault. So I hit the curb, and it made that sound where you're like, a vehicle's never supposed to make that sound, I'm pretty sure. But I parked in the parking lot, and then I went inside this store. I came out maybe 5 minutes later, and my tire was flat. Can you believe that? Like, not only did it jump out in front of me, it also bit my tire, put a hole in it. What was it thinking? So, anyway, I go to my trunk. I get out the spare tire. I get out the jack. And I start the work of replacing the tire that's messed up with the spare tire. Now, I have this unique look about me. I don't know how I got it, but I have this unique look where it always seems like I have no idea what I'm doing. Now, I don't know if it's my face, if it's my whole body, but I carry it with me wherever I go. And so I'm out here fumbling around trying to get this thing jacked up so I can get the new tire on, and this guy walks by. And he looks at me, he's like, this young idiot has no idea what he's doing. And he says, hey, can I help you? And I was like, sure. So he immediately bends down and he places the jack in a different place, and he explains that it has to be in this certain spot so that it doesn't mess up the car when it lifts it up. And then he shows me how to crank it just right so that I wouldn't like scrape my knuckles on the ground and I wouldn't waste my energy. And then he shows me how to get the lug nuts off just right so I won't strip them, I won't mess them up, and then I'll be able to put them back on whenever I have the new tire. And then he showed me how to take the old tire off, put the new tire on, and he showed me some tricks to get it just right so that my tire would not fall off the second I started driving. It was great. Now, this guy didn't owe me anything. He spent like 20 minutes out there with me in the Florida heat, and this was in the summer too. He spent all that time out there with me, even though he didn't know me. I'd never met him before, I'd never seen him before, never seen him after. He did not owe me any of this. And I did not tell him that my dad has shown me at least a dozen times how to do this. I just couldn't remember. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But you know, after he spent all that time with me, he walked away. You know what I thought? What a good guy, right? He didn't have to do this. There was no one that was saying, hey, you better do it or else. No, he did it out of the goodness of his heart. And I experienced his goodness as he showed me the way to replace my tire. We, you and me and everybody else, we have wrecked our lives by sin. We have wrecked the world by sinning. And we are left to pick up the pieces to fix what has been broken. And here's what you know and what I know. We can't do it. We can't figure it all out. But God doesn't just watch from afar and say to himself, they better get it right now. They're the ones who messed it up. They better fix it all. No. God shows us the way. He shows us how we should live. He shows us the way that leads to goodness and beauty and happiness. Here's how you can know God is good. He shows you the way. Are you struggling right now to believe that God is good? Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe you're experiencing something awful. And you're not sure if God is good. Well, then pick up your Bible. Read it. Learn from God. See how you are supposed to live. See how God made things and how he ordered things and how your life should follow that pattern. Read the Bible and see the way, and you will know that God is good. You know that God is good because he shows you the way. All right, so that's the first way you know God is good. Then there is a second way that you know God is good. It is number two, he shows you love. I say this a lot, and I truly do mean it. One of the things that I love about the Bible is that it deals with real life. You know, it's not some fortune cookie with generic advice. Have you ever gotten one of these from like a Chinese restaurant or something? You open the fortune cookie and it says, you will experience something, or something will come in your path today, or something awaits you in your future. And you're like, well, yeah, obviously. You read that and you're like, what? And something awaits you in your future, the garbage can, because that is trash advice, you know? That's not how the Bible is. The Bible actually deals with real life. It actually deals with the specifics of life in a broken world. When bad things happen in life, we can question God's goodness. We wonder if he really is as good as he says he is. So how can you possibly know that God is good when bad things happen? Well, look with me if you have your Bible. Psalm 25, verse 10. All the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. You see, God's goodness isn't just some idea that's out there. It's not some abstract truth. It's not just something that you're supposed to kind of say because you know that you're supposed to say it. Right, have you ever seen someone like this? They're like, well, life ain't great. I lost my job. My wife left me and she took the dog. But I guess God is good. You ever seen? I mean, that's not like Christianity. That's a country song is what that is. I'm going to copyright that. That's not how Christianity is. You're not supposed to just say God is good. You are supposed to experience God's goodness in life. That doesn't mean bad things won't happen. It doesn't mean that you won't experience tragedy and heartache. What it means is that God will be with you. He will show you his goodness. You see, and he shows you his goodness as he shows you love. But think about that. You might be going, Sean, you say that God shows me love, but when things go bad, it doesn't feel like God is good. I don't feel his love. Now, how can I know that God is good when bad things are happening to me? How can I know that God is good when my life isn't good? How can I know that God is good when my situation is not good? Well, here's how. Because even when that happens, God shows you love. Look with me. Verse 10, it said, all the Lord's ways show faithful love. Did you catch that? Faithful love. Not just love, faithful love. That word faithful is key. In fact, in the Hebrew, which the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible is written in the language of Hebrew, those two words, faithful love, are actually one word. It is hesed. And that is covenant love. That's loyal love. A never let you go love. A love that doesn't pack up and leave. A love that won't abandon you when things get hard. It's the kind of love that says, even if you run from me, I will not run from you. That's the kind of love that God has for you. That's the kind of love that God shows you. He binds himself to you. Think about he super glues himself to you. And not the dollar store kind of super glue. I mean like gorilla glue, industrial strength, the kind that you spill on something and you can absolutely never get it off. That's the kind of binding that God has toward you. His love towards you is faithful. And that's how you know his goodness. Friends, I think that if we went around the room, we'd hear some stories of people who went through some absolutely awful things. Maybe you have. But in the terrible thing that you experienced, didn't you also experience God's presence? Didn't you also feel his love? Didn't you also know that you were never alone because he was with you? Yeah, that's God showing you his faithful love. That's how you know he is good. Amen. Mary wanted to be a mom. She had dreamed about it forever. When she got married, she thought, okay, this is it. I'm finally going to have the baby that I want. They struggled to get pregnant, but after a while, they conceived, and she felt like her joy was full. Now, finally, she was pregnant. She was finally going to have this child that she had dreamed about for so long. Life doesn't always go as you plan, and that joy faded when she had a miscarriage and lost the baby. That type of terrible tragedy puts a lot of pressure on a marriage. And so they struggled for a while. It almost led to divorce, but by God's grace, they worked everything out. They were okay. They stayed in love. They stayed married. And then several months later, they tried to conceive again. And eventually she did. She got pregnant again. And she felt this joy again like she had not felt before. And that joy felt complete whenever she held that baby in her arms, that little boy that she had dreamed about for so many years. But that joy didn't last either, because she suddenly and unexpectedly lost her son to death. Now here's the thing. Mary was a follower of Jesus. Mary knew that God is good. But she didn't feel like God was good in that moment. Here is a lady who is trying to follow Jesus, and then something terrible happens, and she feels like life is not good. So how could she know that God is good when she was suffering, when she was heartbroken, when she was grieving? Well, listen to her words. She said, "When my son died, my faith was shaken, and I doubted everything around me. But when I cried out to God, he poured his love into me, and my faith in God's goodness grew stronger." You see, in the middle of tragedy, in the middle of something awful, God showed his goodness to her as he poured his love out into her. She knows God is good because he showed her love. I don't know what kind of hard things that you have experienced in life. There are things that people in this room have gone through that I can't even put words out here to describe. Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe you have been abused. Maybe something has happened to you. And if you were to talk to some of these people and you were to hear about the worst things that they have experienced, many of them, maybe most of them, would talk about how in the middle of their grief, in the middle of their sorrow, in the middle of their anger, in the middle of their suffering, they experienced the love of God most deeply. Maybe you have experienced that. You know God is good because he shows you his love. I mean, haven't you felt that? In the darkest valley, he was with you. In the fiercest storm, he was sheltering you. In the deepest canyon, he was holding you. And all through that, he was loving you. If you are a Christian, God the Holy Spirit, no matter what you experienced, was ministering to your heart. He was showing you love in ways that you had not experienced before. He was giving you comfort. He was giving you faith. He was giving you hope. He was giving you peace when everything around you said that there was none. He was reminding you of these promises that he had given you that you had forgotten about. He was giving you strength that you had no idea was in you. He was pointing your eyes to his coming perfect kingdom where things will be great, where there will be no sadness, no sorrow forever. God did this for you. In those moments, even when life wasn't good, you knew God is good because he shows you covenant love, faithful love, his never let you go love. You know God is good because he shows you love. So that's the second way you know he's good. And then there's a third way that you know he's good. It's number three, he shows you truth. Now here's a question for you. True or false, there are some lies out there in the world. That's it. Okay, this is not a gotcha question. True or false, there are some lies out there in the world. True. Okay, yeah. Now, I know that someone in here is like, well, Sean, you said some lies, and there are a lot more than some lies, so I'm going to go false. Okay, well, what I mean is, yes, it is true. There are lies out there. People don't always tell the truth. You hear lies all the time. In fact, here are some lies that you hear. Here are some untruths that you hear. Unfortunately, this is a lie that my wife hears all the time from my mouth. It will only take 2 minutes. I mean 2 hours and 2 minutes, but when I say, you know, you've heard something like that, that's not true. Or maybe it's, you hear this lie, life is about you. Or maybe it's this lie, we'll watch just one more episode, then we'll turn the TV off. Now, you mean five more episodes. Or maybe you hear, you just need to find your truth. Or, this might be your favorite, the check is in the mail. Yeah, what mail are you talking about? Not the USPS. Or maybe you hear this lie, if it feels good, you should do it. Or you should follow your heart. Or God just wants you to be happy. Well, guess what all of those have in common? They're lies. Not everything you hear is the truth. In this world, you're going to experience that. But look with me at verse 10 of Psalm 25 one more time. All the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. In a world full of lies, God shows you truth. Now, you might say, Sean, what does God showing me the truth have to do with his goodness at all? Well, if you understand the Bible as one story, it makes sense. See, God created you to know the truth, to live in the truth. In fact, God is the truth. God created you to be in a relationship with him and to live for him. But you haven't done it. Neither have I. No one has outside of Jesus. We don't deserve the truth. We have separated ourselves from God, who is the truth. This is how Romans chapter 1, verse 25 describes it. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator who is praised forever. Amen. We humans have chosen to believe a lie rather than the truth that God is our creator and that we should live for him. We have chosen a lie. The lie that we can decide what is good for ourselves. The lie that we should live for ourselves. The lie that we should be in charge of ourselves. We have chosen that lie over the truth that God is king. And yet, verse 10 says, all the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. Friends, I don't deserve the truth from God. You don't deserve the truth from God. God, out of his grace, shows you the truth. I mean, isn't that amazing? To undeserving sinners like us, God shows the truth. Isn't God good? You know, God has every right to leave you fumbling around in this world for the truth. God has every right to leave you believing the lies that you hear and the lies that you prefer. But out of his goodness, he shows you truth. Think about this for a second. Where would you be if God had not shown you the truth? Where would you be right now if God had not shown you the truth? Would you be working yourself to death because you think that life is about earning more? Would you be laid out in a gutter because drug and alcohol abuse ruined your life? Would you be absolutely hollow on the inside because anger and bitterness that you have held on to? Would you be living in fear of death because you don't know what comes after? Would you be on your seventh, eighth, ninth marriage because you think that happiness is found in a partner? Where would you be if God had not shown you the truth? But here's the thing. You're not there. You are here because of God's goodness. You know God is good because he shows you the truth. What's your doctor like? I hope you have a doctor. If you don't, I'm not going to recommend one. But think of your like pediatrician when you were a kid. I had one. His name was Dr. Rigby. He was the best. He used to make frog noises when he would look inside my ear. And I've lived with those nightmares of frogs being my ears for years. But think about your doctor. You like your doctor? I hope you at least respect your doctor. So let's say that you're not feeling well, and so you go into the doctor's office. And when you go in, something is clearly off. Things are not right. Your heart is racing. Your limbs are swollen. You can hardly breathe. Your mind is clouded. You are just dripping sweat. Things aren't right. And okay, yeah, we're in Florida. Someone's going to go, well, Sean, everyone's sweating in Florida. Okay, well, take that one off. Everything else is not right. And you go into your doctor's office, and your doctor takes your vitals. Your doctor looks at your chart, your medical history. Your doctor does a physical exam. And after all of that, you are waiting for his verdict or her verdict. You're waiting to hear what they are going to say to you. Now, would you rather that doctor come in and say, great news, you are perfectly fine. Just ignore all of those symptoms. You're going to be okay. Here's a sticker and a lollipop. Good job. All right, would you rather hear that? Or would you rather hear, this is not good. Now, these signs are not normal. You need to go to the doctor or go to the ER right now to get some help. Now, which of those would you rather hear? If you pick that first one, you're either delusional or you have a death wish. Either way, we would love to pray for you after the service. No sane person would choose that. No sane person wants a doctor who lies to them. You want a doctor who is willing to tell you the truth, no matter how much you don't want to hear it, no matter how offensive it might be. And if that doctor cares about you enough to tell you the truth, even when you don't want to hear it, then you will walk out of their office and you will say, that is a good doctor. Well, friends, that's what God does. He doesn't pat you on the back and say, hey, you know what? You're fine. Just keep living however you want. No, he tells you the truth. He tells you the truth about life. He tells you the truth about yourself. He tells you the truth about who he is. He tells you the truth about what will ruin your life. He tells you the truth about what will give you everlasting life. God tells you truth. Isn't God good for it? You know God is good because he shows you truth. So that is the third and final way that we're going to see that you know God is good today. I sat in that kitchen as a kid with my arms crossed and my lips pulled tight, convinced that because of what I was experiencing, that terrible medicine that my mom was making me drink, I was convinced that my mom was not good. She was making me do something that I hated, and in my little mind, that meant that she was not good. But now I'm grown up, in some ways, and I can look back, and I can see a bigger picture. I can see that it was that medicine that brought me the healing that I needed. It was the medicine that got rid of the infection. It was the medicine that made me well. See, my mom wasn't cruel. She is good. Here's what you know to be true. Sometimes life tastes bitter. Sometimes life is not good. Sometimes you sit in the kitchen of your life with your arms crossed thinking, God, if you are good, then why are you letting me go through this? But here's the thing. Even when you go through that, you know that God is good. Because God shows you the way. He shows you love. And he shows you the truth. Even when life doesn't feel good, you know that God is good. He always has been. He always will be. Believe it right now in your situation. But listen, if you really want to know that God is good, then look to Jesus. The Bible says that we are both by nature and by choice sinners against God, enemies of God. But listen to his goodness to us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, while we were still lost in our sin, Jesus died for us. He paid for our sin, a price that we could never pay ourselves. God is so good that he sent Jesus, God the Father sent Jesus, who is God the Son, to die in our place and to give us life. Isn't God good? No matter what happens in your life, no matter what tragedy you face, no matter how bad things get, you can know that God is good because God the Father sent Jesus to die for you. So when you're going through it, when life doesn't feel good, when your situation does not look good, look to Jesus and know that God is good. Now, if you have never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, then I hope right now that you see God's goodness, because out of his goodness, he is offering you freely salvation. You can't earn this. You could never do enough to make up for the wrong that you have done. But God freely offers you forgiveness in Jesus right now. What you need to do is you need to come to God and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong. So forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you believe that in your heart, if you trust in Jesus in your heart, your sins will be forgiven. And you will know the goodness of God as you taste the sweetness of salvation. So if you know I'm talking to you, you know you need to make that choice right now, then don't hesitate. If you want to talk to someone about that, if you have questions about that, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing and choose to trust in Jesus. And I'm going to be hanging around right down here after the service waiting to talk with you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and knowing God's goodness. Christian, do you know that God is good? Do you believe that God is good? Do you feel that God is good? Well, here's the truth. There might be times where you don't feel it. Sometimes life will taste bitter. Sometimes you will go through things that make you question it. But listen to me. God's goodness does not depend on your feelings. He is good all the time. He is good no matter what you're walking through, no matter what you face. You can know that God is good. And so we are going to respond to his goodness by singing his praises together. And as we sing, let me just ask you, how do you need to respond? Maybe you need to just come up here or come to God right now and you just need to pour your heart out to him. You need to tell him that you don't feel great because your life is not great right now. And you need to ask him for help to feel his goodness in your heart. Or do you need to come and confess as we sing that you haven't been trusting in God's goodness? You've been going through something and right now you're not sure if he's good. Well, confess that to him and ask him for help. Or do you just need to thank him for his goodness that you have experienced over and over and over again? Listen, don't sit in the kitchen with your arms crossed, doubting God's heart. Open your hands and surrender and worship God, because you know he has shown you once and for all that he is good. So as we sing, lift your voice in praise. Cast your burdens on him. Confess your doubt to him. And rest in this unshakable truth. God is good. And in Jesus, you have all the proof you need. So let's respond in his goodness together. Would you pray with me? God, you are so good. And there are times in our lives where the world doesn't feel good, where our situation isn't good, where we ourselves know that we aren't good. We experience tragedy, we experience trauma, we experience things that no one wants to go through, Lord. And we carry heartache, we carry anger, we carry bitterness. But Lord, in all of that, through all of that, we believe that you are good. And so teach that truth to our hearts so that we believe it all the time, so that we live according to it all the time. Help us not to question your goodness. Help us to enjoy your goodness. So I pray, Lord, whatever we face this week, that we would rest in the fact that you are good. I ask if there is someone here, Lord, that has not put their faith in Jesus, that they would see their sin, their need for a Savior, the price that Jesus paid, and the offer of salvation that is set before them right now. May they see that. May they respond in faith, Lord. Let all of this be to the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.